Welcome to What Is Going Om's Synchronize Your Energies, the show that provides clear insights into the rapidly shifting energies that are upgrading human consciousness and evolving life on planet Earth. Each month, hosts Sandy Sedgbeer, Susie Miller, and Lee Harris share their observations and awarenesses and offer a stable means of synchronizing your energy fields so you can thrive, not just survive, during these tumultuous times. Here's your hosts, Sandy Sedgbeer, Susie Miller, and Lee Harris.
Hello. Welcome to What Is Going On's new monthly Synchronize Your Energies show, in which energy guide, author, channeler and musician Lee Harris and visionary speaker, author, telepathic communicator and multidimensional seer Susie Miller sit with me around the table, so to speak, for an informal chat about what each of us is seeing, sensing and understanding about what's currently unfolding in the seen and the unseen worlds around us. But be warned, because when I say informal, what I mean is there's nothing scripted or pre-planned about this show. It's going to be raw, it's going to be authentic, and yes, chances are it could get very personal too. So it's going to be a bit like eavesdropping on a regular end of month. Kick off your shoes, pour yourself a drink, and let's share our experiences and reset our energies. Meet up between three good friends whose lives and work revolve around supporting others in perceiving and understanding their lives and experiences from an expanded perspective. I guess you could say it's like The View, only an alternative version of it for a conscious audience, with the added benefit of one of Susie's powerful energy processes to synchronize your energy fields so you can thrive and not just survive during these very, very interesting times. So the gang's all here. Hi Lee, hi Susie.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Lee.
Now, I know the sun's not over the yardarm yet in California, but it is past seven on the East Coast. So if you've got your gin and tonic, Lee, I've got my wine. Susie, you can't have any because you've got work to do later in the show.
That's right. Yeah.
So what's been coming up for you guys this past month?
You want to start off, Lee?
Yeah, I can. It's been so interesting. Like, for me personally, this last few days, what I have noticed is resistance and overwhelm to the momentum that's going on. It's funny. The three of us touched base a few days ago and we talked about some of the stuff that we were noticing, as we always do when we get together. But one of the themes that came up for me in the month of March, when I was recording the energy update on Sunday morning, was momentum. And that comes out tomorrow, but it's so interesting that since Monday morning, I've had a fairly busy week. I've had a lot going on for quite a few months, and I have felt myself having to drag myself into things and through things, and waking up every morning, going to the gym to work with my trainer, and just like, ugh. But when I step back from it, what I feel is the expansion that I personally am experiencing, which I don't think is any different to what everyone's going through, it's just a little bit too much for my old identity to process. So that part of me is a little bit like, ugh. And I was sharing with you guys, hence the gin and tonic mention. I was sharing with you guys a couple of days ago, I've been recording my audiobook. I have a book coming out at the end of this month, and I came back from the audiobook studio on Tuesday evening, and I was just like, oh man, I just want a really big gin and tonic and a bath. And that's exactly what I did. Then I had a second gin and tonic, and it was great. It was just what I needed, because it was, the momentum and the speed I've found big. And I'm somebody who is really also really grateful about what's going on in my life right now. A lot of great things are happening. But there's a part of me which feels old and feels smaller that's just trying to keep up with it all and having a little bit of a tantrum about needing to keep up with it all and fantasizing about like having a week off to myself with nobody around, which is always what hits me when I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. leave because honestly, it's like the last, definitely over last weekend, there, I know I shared this a little bit with you guys when we were talking, but there was this deep kind of almost like a deep dig in to what I would call old patterns, old realities, you know, little hooks that kind of come in and drag us into the past, and definitely feeling all of that in the last weekend, and also having the opportunity to kind of I had all my kids around with me last weekend too, and so had the opportunity to feel into some of the places where I was now and what I could tolerate or what I could interact with now versus what I was able to, be with before. And I was really noticing too how some patterns, some lineage patterns where I would notice something that had gotten passed from me, I mean, from my mother to me, and then I was hearing it in my own girls, was even being passed down as far down as my grandson. And I was listening to him at one point kind of go into that, that little kid version, I think, that you were probably talking about, or that part that is a little bit slower on the uptake when we're moving as quickly as we're moving right now. And I just remember him going into this kind of little tantrum about, you know, almost like a victimhood kind of thing. And we had this conversation about, no, you don't want to go into that place because, you know, you don't want to create that for yourself, and there are other opportunities, and you don't want anybody else to be responsible for your own joy and these kind of things. And he's like, yeah, you're right. I need to do this. I can do this. I don't want to have anybody else be responsible. And it's like those two parts. It makes me smile because it's like those two parts of ourselves right now. It's that child part or that part that's not quite with the new program yet, that's saying, oh, just let me go back to victimhood and let me say that there's, you know, and then there's this other part that's just, I don't know, I keep getting the image of a jet going down the runway, just literally getting ready to lift off, and, you know, a whole new perspective, a much lighter ride in many ways. So, yeah.
You know, what you guys are sharing, I've got a new word that I'm in love with. I came across it a few months ago. It's called pistified. And it's a combination of being totally pissed off and totally mystified. And I think everybody is going through that right now. I think everybody is feeling, you know, to some degree or another, pissed off. And also, everybody's gobsmacked, you know, they're mystified by what is going on out there. And you've just described it. I mean, you know, I follow astrology very closely. And one of the things that's been happening this past week is Chiron, which they, you know, refer to as the wounded healer. There's much more to Chiron than that, but that's, you know, some of the key words, has left Pisces and it's moved into Aries. So we've kind of come to the end of one 8-year cycle and we're about to embark on the other one. And what's interesting is that really it's about, Aries is all about me. It's the personal, it's the I am, you know, so it's all about us. And so everything that we're going to be experiencing to a degree is really about ourselves, what it always is, but even more so, and about self-actualization and about knowing us as humans as well as spiritual beings. And it's so interesting that you bring up Kai, your grandson, because I mean, kids are a great reminder that it's all about me, aren't they?
Yeah. So true. Yeah. The inner child reminds us of that all the time. The inner child's all about me. Leave me alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've also got, another 7-year cycle starting as well, because I think that's Uranus entering Taurus on March the 6th, so in about a week's time. And they're saying it initiates a 7-year cycle that will shake up our relationship to money and the environment, among other things. But, the words healing, the words healing crisis seem to be especially pertinent right now. And I think, you know, the earth is going through a crisis that it has to go through before it can begin to heal itself, just like us.
Yeah. And that's so internal right now, too. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that's why it's feeling so edgy right now. We're all in this place of, you know, it's not even so much of, for me anyway, it's not even so much about what's coming up in the outer world as really what's coming up in the inner world. It's like this reassessment, this reevaluation, you know, okay, this has been the last 8 years of your life. This is where the focus has been. These are the things that went well. These are the things that didn't go so well. This is what, you know, you want more of. This is what you want less of. And it seems like it's all, you know, it's like this, between now and maybe even spring, it's like this opportunity to reevaluate all of these things. Because if we literally are taking off and really going to be coming at this next 7-year cycle, 8-year cycle from a brand new perspective, it feels like right now it's kind of like, you know, wine and gin and tonic time. Sit down and reflect and see what works and what, you know, gets kicked out.
So, pour me another glass.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, one of the things that came up on this, these energy updates that I record every month, and they give me a sense of what's going on, because I tend to record them a week before they come out. And while I don't find myself in everything that I'm called to report, it usually gives me a heads up of some stuff that I will go through too. And one of the things that was very clear, and the reason I got up so early to do it, I got up at 5:30 because I wanted to do it with the sunrise, because the night before I was clearly given the message, March is the dawn of 2019. It's the sunrise of the year. And it's really, in a way, the beginning of the year. And for anybody who has gone through what I was shown has been like a kind of 6-month arc since last October of lack of clarity, frustration, feeling stopped, not quite sure what they're doing, regretting choices they've made. This is going to be like a rocket fuel month, which can go either way. It can be lovely and great, and, or it can be like, oh my God, you know, stop the train, I want to get off. And I think it's funny, one, I so relate to, you know, everything you were saying about kids, the kind of everything's about me. One of the things I've noticed in myself is just the last few days I've felt very locked inside myself in a way that I don't normally experience myself to be, or certainly not dominantly. But I felt very locked in my own internal experience, even though I'm doing things, I'm engaging with people. So that really fits for me. And I wonder if part of it for me is because I haven't been one of those people who's been, you know, not moving forward since last October. I've actually had a really big kind of year and a half. So the idea of things getting faster, I think I'm like, you know, taking shelter, like going, no, can't we just all lie down for a month or two? And it's like, no, apparently not.
I think that, you know, one of the things that's hard to cope with, especially when everything is moving as fast as it is now, is we don't really have any time to an opportunity to process it all, because it's all going so fast.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, though. I think that this, you know, I think that's part of what's changing from that old cycle to the new cycle. It's, we're no longer going to be processing mentally. We're no longer going to be, you know, kind of rehashing these things and digging them out and all this kind of methodology that has been very productive up until this point. But, you know, we're really having to make choices about our own lives on the fly right now. And so I think it's forcing a level of intuition or a level of awareness that we might not have even known we had. Like, you know, Sandy, I mean, I know you have that typo in your tummy thing that you talk about all the time, and it feels like, you know, in years to come, like that's going to be what you rely on before you rely on, you know, it's like that level of intuition is, I think, what we're being invited to really know and honor, respect within ourselves as we move into this, because it is going to, I mean, it's clipping along and it's just going to keep getting faster.
Wow. Well, yeah, I think you're right. And I think that too is in a way, it's part of this, for me anyway, it makes sense that it's part of this Chiron in Aries, this self-actualization. This is, you know, looking at yourself, going within, taking care of yourself on every level and really understanding yourself, which I think is so difficult to do when there's so many external things that are constantly, you know, distracting us from doing that.
Yeah, and the previous... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Susie.
Go ahead, Lee. Go ahead.
I was just going to say previous generations too. You know, every generation is different, and so we tend to go back to our roots, but our roots did not have this level of conscious awareness, certainly not as a mainstream collective society. Sure, there were people, there were pockets. So I think there's something about that too. We're all in a massive identity shift, especially ancestrally as well as culturally. So I think we're having to create new ways of being and learn to unplug or unhook, especially as the world got faster since the internet arrived. So now you have to monitor your use of the internet too and kind of just go, oh, this is a bit too stimulating. Oh, I'll step away. Oh, I'll go and, you know, so I think there's so many new things that give us the opportunity to have to still ourselves so that we can let things catch up.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're listening to What Is Going On's monthly Synchronize Your Energy show, in which energy guide, author, channel and musician Lee Harris and visionary speaker, author and telepathic communicator and seer Susie Miller join me around the table for an informal sharing of what each of us is experiencing, seeing, sensing and understanding about what's currently unfolding in the seen and the unseen worlds around us. We'll be back with more after the break.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Welcome back to the Synchronize Your Energy show with me, Sandy Sedgbeer, Lee Harris and Susie Miller. One of the things that's been coming up for me this month is, unusually, I've found myself being able to step back a little bit and just look at things from a slightly different perspective. There was something that we didn't get to talk about when we met up the other day, but recently there's been a lot in the news about Justin Smollett. And, you know, whether he lied or didn't lie about being attacked, etc. And I saw a great piece, a little interview clip with Yann Le Van Sant, and I shared it on my Facebook page. She was on the red carpet somewhere at some event, and the presenter was asking her, basically, you know, how we make sense of that, you know, experience, what Justin allegedly did. And her response was so, you know, it just stopped me in my tracks. That's why I shared it, because it just really made me stop and think. And what she said was, wow, well, you know, if he did that, then, you know, we make sense of it by saying, look at us. He's one of us. What he did at the core was what we do every day. He told a lie. And, you know, and in the same way that, as she said, these are her words, not mine, but I do endorse them, in the same way that the leader of this country does every day. And in fact, what happens when people tell lies is, you know, they feel unheard and they feel unacknowledged and they're in a lot of pain and they seek to get attention. And we all do that every day, in fear, in pain, in anger. She's done it. And instead of making this about him or them, we should be making it about the fragility of who we are as human beings. Now, I posted that, and what was so interesting is I got a response from an old friend of mine, goes way back, saying, so, you condone this, do you? Which, you know, just had me saying, no, that's not what I said, you know, listen to what she said. But, you know, what she said is so important, because we're all reacting to this stuff every minute of the day now. There's so much of it in the news. You know, this one's told a lie and that one's told a lie. And and, you know, we do need to make it about the fragility of who we are as human beings. And what do we do about that?
It's so interesting, because I think that's, again, it goes back to this time of introspection and this time of, like, kind of getting our bearings, or, you know, wanting to be a little reclusive for a while before we take off again, because it's almost like we're getting a really good look at what we have created as a humanity up to this point, both personally, you know, and collectively. And so, you know, to me anyway, it feels like, you know, whether I'm looking at my kids, you know, my girls or my grandson, whether I'm looking at my business or, you know, where things are going next, you know, it's like, again, it's like, okay, this is what has been created thus far. And is this how we want, is this how I want to move forward? Is this how, is this what I want to be putting into that collective, you know? And, you know, and can we actually alter the collective by altering our own pathways and making new choices? And I think this is a great time to be making new choices, you know?
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, it's in us. It's in us.
I love what you shared from Ianla. And it's interesting. The perspective I took on it was a couple of different things. I mean, so my husband is African American, and I really didn't understand very deeply, or not in a very up close and personal way, just the experiences that have gone on in this country, America, for so long. And of course, racism's all over the world, but there's a very specific thing with the, particularly the African American culture here historically in America. You could argue some other races right now are going through that too, but what hit me about it was how this issue of race is up in our faces again. Like, I could even separate it from him. And there was one part of me that was relieved that it wasn't real, because I thought, oh, okay, good. That's one less kind of thing that we hear about. But I also find it, I find it an extraordinary measure that if he isn't, you know, if he did do this and arrange this for himself, that was the way he chose to do it, that was the measure that he took to get attention or what they're reporting as a desire for a higher salary and a higher profile on the show, that that was his way of leveraging power for himself that he didn't think he could get, and that he kind of went straight for the wound for African-American people in this country. Mm-hmm. So it, for me, it was such a melting pot, and I still don't really have a clear... It's so multidimensional, I guess, is where I'm coming from. There are so many different things, and I think that's why it was such an explosion in our focus. But I agree with, Iyanla saying that about the leader of the country, for a start, is number one. But number two, it makes me think of a story that has gone around the internet many times of when, I think it was a tribe somewhere, where if one of their members was caught stealing, they would put this tribe member into the center of the circle, and everybody would have to tell this tribe member something wonderful about themselves, about what they thought of that person. And I just thought, wow, that's pretty phenomenal right there, that way of approaching things. Yet your friend, Sandy, also shows us the very black and white nature and judgmental nature that we have all been trained into, get caught up in. We either get caught up in it subtly, or certain people live in it in a very overt way. And they believe in right, wrong, this person is better than that person, this person should be punished, which to people like us is very old paradigm, but it exists. So, you know, we're all somewhere on that scale. So it's intense for sure.
I'm going to be really irreverent now. And I'm going to share something relating to that, because there's an old joke. And some people may not like hearing this at all. But there's an old joke about Jesus doing his thing. And he comes across in one town he comes across a crowd of people who are stoning a woman. And he says, what's happening? And they say, oh, well, you know, she's committed adultery. She's a liar. She's this, she's that, you know, so we're stoning her to death. And He said, well, if there's one amongst you without sin, you could throw the first stone. And then suddenly from the back of the crowd came a big rock that flew over everybody's head and just landed. It didn't hit the woman, but it just landed. Jesus turned around, had a look, and said, Mother, sometimes you really piss me off. You know, and okay, you know, maybe that's in bad taste, but I think the thing is, we all piss each other off, you know, because we can all be hypocrites all of the time, some of the time, you know. There's nobody who is not a hypocrite ever. And this is the kind of thing that we need to be looking at, with especially with the help of Chiron going into Aries, because it's allowing us to look at our own wounds just in spite. Yeah. You know, allows us to look at our own wounds. You know, Trump allows us to look at our own
definitely,
wounds.
Definitely,
definitely.
Absolutely. He has raised a lot to the surface. And I think in future years, when people look back, if you look at it energetically as to why he's there right now, it will all make much more sense than, you know, the horror of reading news headlines. If you read news headlines, I tend to avoid pretty much all, as many of them as I can.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and bringing it is, it's bringing to the surface again, where within us are we polarized, and also where within us, you know, when we are polarized, you know, do we treat that polarization with disdain and with, you know, horror and whatever, or can we have a little bit of compassion for it? Can we have a little bit of love for these places, these wounded places within ourselves? Because, you know, if they haven't been coming up full force already lately, I mean, I know at least in my own life, they're going to be coming up. You know, this is going to be a perpetual motion, if you will, of letting that which is unseen, you know, come to the surface. So this opportunity, I think, is a really beautiful one. And not whether it's black or white or, you know, red or green for that matter. It's like, how do we meet it? How do we address it? you know, how have we addressed it in the past? You know, maybe there's shame or guilt around how we've addressed something in the past. And allowing ourselves to have some compassion for that, allowing ourselves to have some love for that, right? And, okay, you know, and it's trial and error, isn't it? You know, it's like, you know, it's like you don't want to kick the dog, poor Howard. But you're like, you know, in this moment, you know, this is that's where I'm going to go. It's like I'm frustrated, I'm irritated, I'm whatever, right? And so, but again, it's like, how do we treat ourselves in those moments when this kind of polarity arises?
Yeah, like shadow feelings. How do we be with the shadow feelings? It's funny, going back to the Justin Smollett thing. We don't quite know what went on, but if it were that he did make all of that happen, I remember thinking, God, what a brutal thing to do to yourself in order mm-hmm. to get an end result. And, mm-hmm. you know, what level of self-attack must you be living with if you're willing to bring something like that down upon yourself? But there was another side of it for me that I think doesn't get acknowledged enough. He was a successful actor on a successful TV show, and it wasn't enough. Like, if this is true and he did fabricate this, he wanted more money and more profile on the show. And how many other actors out there would kill to have his position on the show, or so they think? And so it was a reminder to me of how our outside circumstances do not always dictate our inner feelings. And often it's when people get success that all that stuff comes to the surface. And just kind of full circle, I was kind of laughing at myself this week, because several times when I've noticed my own resistance, I'm like, you're in the happiest place you've probably ever been in your life. And literally, even with my resistance daily, there are at least 6 or 8 times a day that I recognize how grateful I am. Yet still, there's this other stuff burning off as well. There's this smaller part of me or older part of me that doesn't know how to be in it yet.
I think that's the point, Lee. I think that's the shift from polarity to whatever we're moving into next, because it's like to allow all of this to coexist at the same time. It's like,
yes.
You know, we were talking the other day when, you know, you and Sandy and I were talking, about, you know, there's that personal or that's that professional persona. There's the person who lives in a house with a family or with whomever. There's, you know, we have all of these different, these different identities. And I think we're having, you know, I know in my own experience anyway, I feel like I'm being given one opportunity after another to get, to be as nice as I possibly can to the whole tribe that lives within my experience, you know,
yes.
Like the whole inner tribe, you know, it's like, you know, and there's always the ones that within us that we like more, right? And within us and the parts that we kind of, well, I wish you weren't there, you know, it's like, and, you know, but nevertheless, they are there, right? It's kind of like, okay, I think the mama in me just kind of, is getting, I don't know, it just like feels like a big opportunity to just go, okay, you come here too. You know, you come here too. So come close to.
This is the thing, isn't it? I mean, we carry on through life and there are moments, and thank goodness people like Justin Smollett, you know, this is an opportunity that the media is giving us and he's giving us, you know, to say, well, how do I want to look at this? You know, I mean, you two both know that I'm in a situation right now where I'm caregiving somebody, a family member who's got cancer. And my relationship with this family member has been contentious at times. And, you know, I've been exceedingly judgmental. We've both been judgmental of each other, as family members often are. But there was an episode a week or so ago when, you know, owing to a really severe reaction to chemotherapy, this person lost their memory temporarily. Mm-hmm. And to be with them when the mask was gone, mm-hmm. and they didn't know who they were, or what they had done for the past 24 hours. And they were totally vulnerable in that moment. Just cracked open my heart in a way that it's never been cracked open by this person before. And it was such a powerful moment for me to go, oh my God, and to really be, you know, have compassion. And, you know, I don't know if it's made me a better person, but I do know that I can't go back. I can't go back to before that moment, because I've had that moment and I've had a realization that will never leave me.
Sandy, did you feel like did it feel like your mask dropped at the same time hers dropped? I mean, like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because to me, in it is the key to everything, which is every single person is vulnerable. And our masks' defenses hide that vulnerability. And I don't know about you guys or anyone listening, but I know I suffered so much internally in, you know, the first 18 years of my life, because people weren't talking about real feelings. So creative expression was where I could find that outlet. But in my personal life, where that wasn't really being expressed, I was suffering. And you see it time and time again, when people are vulnerable, when people share what's going on for them, it brings oxygen into the room and it connects people. So I love that for you, seeing this person in their extreme vulnerability, you know, I think it's the reason parents love children. If parents met their kids age 80 first, they might not feel that way. But because they meet them as this tiny little being that can't speak and hasn't yet become societally formed, it's, you know, this pure energy, and they're deeply vulnerable and dependent on you. Parents love that child.
And that's what we have to remember, that everybody's vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're listening to What Is Going On's monthly Synchronize Your Energy shows with Lee Harris, Susie Miller, and me, Sandy Sedgbeer. After this break, what can you take from this conversation? Plus a rare chance to sit back and enjoy a powerful resetting, rebalancing, and synchronizing of your energy fields with Susie Miller. We'll be back in a moment.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to Synchronize Your Energies with Lee Harris, Susie Miller, and me, Sandy Sedgbeer. Susie, I know that you have something to say in response to what Lee shared just before the break. So,
when he was just talking about the fact that, you know, those first 18 years of life and, you know, certain things that aren't felt, and, you know, the vast majority of humans, you know, kind of suppress those feelings. And on today's Children's Sanctuary call, we were talking about the fact that, you know, you hear so often for this population, you're too sensitive, you feel too much. And, you know, what the collective consciousness of the kids has said so often is that that's really usually coming from somebody who has not been able to have the full expression of their emotion. So, you know, some of these newer kids coming along and all of a sudden, and, you know, Lee being one of them, you know, you and I being one of them back in the day, you know, it's like too much information, too much feeling, too much, you know, in their eyes anyway. And I find it fascinating because that very thing is something that can have a shutdown effect on our ability to feel as a humanity, to feel as a society. And I think that's being popped right open right now, which is great.
So true.
It's interesting, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, when you talk about, you know, and I know your work is predominantly with the kids, I mean, and adults, we're all kids really at heart. The work is really about all of the unexpressed stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. and getting that out and coming to terms with a lot of that and integrating it so that we can be fuller expressions of ourselves. There isn't a person alive, I don't think, that hasn't had their expression squashed at some point. Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder how we manage to get through life.
It's funny, you know, that's one of the biggest game changers for me in my life when I started doing personal sessions 15 years ago, which I did right up until I think this month is my last sessions that I'm doing one-on-ones. It completely changed my understanding of people, because people would come to me with their most intimate, difficult, vulnerable things. And I mean, it was everybody. It was, you know, the very rich CEO through to, you know, the young 22-year-old just finding their way in life. It didn't matter who they were or what their life circumstances were or what their experiences have been. What the greatest teacher to me as the person delivering these sessions and readings was to just see the vulnerability of everybody. And in the early days, when I used to do written readings without being present on the phone or on Skype or in person with them, people's questions would make me cry. Like I would receive their questions and I would burst into tears. And what I now realize is it was a heart opening for me to be invited into that level of intimacy with those people who were entrusting me to help them. But for me, the biggest gift was just a complete leveling the playing field around knowing that energy is in everybody, and everybody has their wounded child, and everybody has their, you know, highest point of their adulthood that they have evolved into. And it's the spectrum inside all of us, depending on the day, the situation, how confident we feel, whether life has been rough for us recently or whether it's been good. You know, it's, we're the ocean and we keep changing the temperature of our section of ocean on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Susie, do you have anything you want to say in response to what Lee said, or do you want to go straight into your process?
I'm ready if you guys are.
Yeah.
I'm ready if you are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, don't ditch me, guys. You guys have to stay here.
Darn it. I'm just going to go and pour another glass.
How did you know?
Stay right where you are. It's getting exciting. Yeah. So I you know, in that last break, I was just thinking where we might go to synchronize our energies around this conversation tonight. And I think for this first call, it makes really good sense to assume that, you know, we are all going through massive shifts and changes, and those changes just seem to be getting faster and faster. We're having to do more on the fly than we've ever, you know, make choices and decisions and live life, you know, really from an intuitive perspective, more so than we ever have before. And so that's bringing up all kinds of different aspects of ourselves that are ready to be, to be seen, maybe aspects that never came up before. So What we're going to do here is we're just going to take the next, 7 minutes or so to really synchronize our energies, to bring ourselves first, let's just bring ourselves back here. So wherever you are, out in your lives, out the mind, out in the multiverse somewhere, just for a second, just come right back here and start breathing into the body. Just allow yourself to be present here. And as you're present here, the first thing that I really notice about this collective is that our hearts are just a little bit shut down. I think with so much going on, the heart energy, it's like a dial that's just, closed a certain degree. And so let's kind of turn it the other direction. So just a few deep breaths. And let's see if we can't just hear for a moment. Open up that heart space a little fuller, a little deeper. There you go. Just let yourself have faith again. I don't know why that word's coming up. Let yourself have faith. And not in something external. Let yourself maybe begin to realize that this, all of these inner parts of ourselves, these polarities of ourselves, they're not coming up to punish us. They're not coming up to make us feel less than. They're coming up as opportunities, as choices, as stepping stones into our next very beautiful realities, our next very beautiful opportunities. Okay, so if everybody will take a nice deep inhale and exhale again. All right, so we're going to go a little bit deeper here now. So the next thing that you all are showing me as a collective is like a cellular memory. It's almost like a data dump. All this information is coming up and out of the cellular memory, and it's coming up and out very quickly. And the question, what do I do with it? Where do I put it? How does this relate to where I would like to go next? All of that kind of energy is really just flooding into the system right now. So we're going to pull all of that energy up. And if you followed me for a little while, I really like spheres. So we're going to put all of that energy that's coming up and out of our memory, cellular memory, and we're going to place that in a sphere out in front of us. That sphere simply contains the information, and that's all it is. It's just information. If we don't attach anything to it, it's just information. So go ahead, and we're now going to add a blue star to the center of that sphere. That blue star is your totality, because somewhere you're already whole. You're already total. You're already all of that. So we're going to use that blue star, that totality, to just spin through all that information. You're spinning it all out, getting that fear to go crystal clear, just because you say so, just because you're intending it to be so. And now that it's clear, we're going to compress that fear back around that blue star, and we're going to drop that blue star back into our cellular memory, imploding it into billions of frequencies of light. We're literally restructuring the cellular memory for our now moments instead of what we've been dragging along up into this moment. Okay? So again, nice deep inhale and exhale. All right. So the next thing that you're showing me is there's this giant pull forward. It's like there's something attached to the front of our chest, and that there's a momentum pulling us forward. There's an energy that, you know, if we're not already kind of into that momentum, like Lee was describing, if we're not already into that momentum, there's plenty of us that are wondering when that momentum wave is going to catch us, you know, when we're going to be there, when that next awareness of direction and focus and clarity is going to kind of hit or sink in. And so what I'm hearing you all suggest is that instead of paying attention to the pull, instead of paying attention to where we are not quite yet, either parts of ourselves or even the collective totality of ourselves, even instead of being connected or focused on the pull, let's just see if we can just relax back for a second. Let's see if we can relax back into this present now moment. And all the fear that comes up, you know, whether it's the inner child or some other aspect of it that says, I don't know where I'm going next, or maybe I'm going too fast, or, you know, how am I going to get there? What will my life be like when I am there? All that mental noise, all the fear that comes up with the uncertainty of moving into a new life cycle. Let's pull all of that energy up and out and place that in a sphere in front of us. We'll blue star that information and spin it all out. Let that blue star radiate through that whole sphere, and then compress and condense that sphere right back down to that blue star. And we'll take that blue star and we'll put it right here, right now, with us in this now moment, imploding it into billions of frequencies of light, letting it be okay where we are. Wherever that is. Yeah, beautiful. All right, I think that might be just enough for tonight. So if you closed your eyes during this process, let's come right back here, open them back up. Yeah, right here, right now. All right, thank you, everybody. Thanks, Sandy and Lee.
Thanks, Susie.
Thank you, Susie. You know, that's a wonderful process. It reminds me of something in an NLP where we put a picture out in front of us and throw a rock at it or do whatever we can to smash that picture. If it's something that's been bothering us, or if it's a thought going round and round mm-hmm. in the head, you know, that we're worrying about, or an image that yeah. we want to get rid of. It's very powerful, and I imagine people can do that on their own, can they?
Absolutely. And it was interesting watching this collective, because when that fear came up, you know, it's, you know, we have a tendency to almost launch full force into or try to propel ourselves into this new reality. But on the one hand, this reality is pulling us into it. And on the other hand, you know, it's like, the more relaxed we can be in the process, the more allowing we can be of the process, the more it pulls us right where we're meant to end up, you know. And yes, we need to talk to those different aspects of ourselves along the way. Like Lee was saying earlier, we need to reassure these different parts of us that, you know, we're all going along for the ride. All the parts of us are going along. So...
Well said, Susie. Lee, do you have anything to add before we close?
No, this has been great. I'm still floating after Susie's process. Susie, can you come round to our houses every single night, all of us, everyone listening, and put yeah. us to bed with give our inner child a nice bedtime story/process.
A little tuck in, yeah. I'm notorious for singing in weird languages to the inner child as well, so maybe that'll be on a future episode.
Sounds good to me.
Well, you never know what's going to happen on this show. So for now, we're at the end of this month. If you want to participate in the conversation, if you want to share what you took from tonight's show with us, you can leave a message on any of our Facebook pages, or you can write to me, sandysedge@gmail.com. My name truncated there. I'm sure we'd all be grateful for the feedback. So anyway, for more information on Lee's workshops, his books, classes, free monthly energy updates, visit leeharrisenergy.com. And you can check out all of Susie's offerings, which include Avatar Energetics, monthly balancing and integration sessions. Yeah, I'm having difficulty speaking, and no, it's not the wine. And for the Children's Sanctuary, you'll find more information at Susie's website, susiemiller.com. And I'll be back again next week with another edition of our regular What Is Going On show. Till then, it's goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye.
Bye.